Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairnsar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. And for Wilson Homes, enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson home. Jared, we've got a first-time guest on Sports Day.
Celebrated guest, indeed.
Hails from the UK. He just happens to be another chief. We only actually get chiefs of their acquired sports on. He's the chief cricket correspondent for the illustrious newspaper, The Telegraph, in England, Jared. And he's made it all the way to our shores. I'm not sure he's made it all the way to the Gabba, though.
My understanding is he's holed up somewhere in Sydney. Not a bad spot to be. Nick, welcome to you. This is Nick Holt I'm talking about, of course. We do appreciate your time, Nick.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
And where do we find you at this stage?
I'm in Bondi, actually, which is very nice, although we just had a massive electrical storm.
Yep.
And there's a building site next to the hotel, and one of the forks of lightning struck the crane, which made us jump a bit. But unfortunately, going to be watching the test match on the television from Sydney.
Well, Nick, you actually are talking to the Prince of Bondi, our co-host Jared there. Lived there for a long time when playing professional sport. And Jared, your one biggest regret in life?
Not buying in Bondi when I was there. Nick, we might as well explore exactly where you're staying.
I thought this might come up.
Whereabouts are you staying in Bondi? There's Bondi and then there's Bondi Beach. I assume you're staying somewhere near the Ravisi or the QT or one of those more salubrious places that's only stepping distance to everything that the Pacific Ocean has for you.
I mean, a brand new apartment block on Hall Street, at the bottom of Hall Street, right by the seafront. And it looks, there's obviously a lot of money being piled into this area because there's cranes and building sites everywhere and people cashing in, I think. So it's a great location. And like I say, just down from the beach, which is very nice, given that it was snowing when I left the UK.
And what's been your favourite restaurant or thing to do? Have you done the Bronte Walk a number of times already?
Yeah, I've done that. I actually ran it, actually, rather than walked.
Excellent.
So I feel quite smug about that, really. But I've done that and haven't really got out much in the evening because we had to do 3 days isolation, all of us that are here, and obviously working so hard that I don't have time to go out and socialise.
Well, I think so hard, Jared.
Well, I'm not even talking about socialising. If you want probably the best value for money meal, if you're looking for a view in this country, would be the North Bondi RSL. You can go to the other side of the icebergs and drop 200 a head, or you can go there and have a chicken parmesan for $25 and have a couple of pots, and you're out of there with $30. I hope you avail yourself of that experience because you will not regret it.
Yeah, I've been there before, actually. At the end of the 10-11 tour, which you obviously know that England won the Ashes that time.
I don't remember that at all. No.
We had a long lunch there the day after the last test. Yeah. It's a really good spot. It's a good recommendation.
Okay, Nick, let's get down to business. We had Ian Chappell. He's been a regular on this show for 30 years, and he sometimes gets players in his sights. And at the moment, he's got your captain, Joe Root, in his sights. Is the criticism fair or is it unwarranted or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. Sorry to sit on the fence like that. But he's right to suggest that Joe has still amazingly got a lot to prove as captain, given that he's won more test matches than any other England captain there's ever been. But I think with Joe, just because of his personality and the way he is, he comes across perhaps as being a little bit meek at times, but he's very set on how he wants his team to play, and really his captaincy revolves around his own performance. He really has to lead with the bat. If he can do that, the others will follow.
He has actually said, Nick, that this tour will define his captaincy. Is there that much pressure on him, and is that a fair assessment by the captain?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think if you win the Ashes in Australia as an England captain, it will certainly define your captaincy because so few others have done it before. He would always be remembered as a man who managed to do that. I think if he loses this series, then it will be his third Ashes series without winning the Ashes. And I think that will hang heavy around his neck. He follows Michael Vaughan and Strauss and Cook and those guys who all won the Ashes, albeit at home apart from Strauss. And I think he always that was always his main ambition. The problem for England is that, you know, it's easy to say if they lose the Ashes this time, get rid of Joe Root, but you look around and who else do you give the job to? Mm. So that is a major problem, and probably a problem that Australia shared as well, which is why they've gone to Pat Cummins.
Strauss and
a lack of alternatives, really.
Strauss and Vaughan would have had much better teams, though, Nick. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's right. And Joe's had to struggle with, had to deal with the COVID situation, which has made obviously life complicated for everybody, in particular cricket teams, because they're locked away in bubbles and they've had to rotate and rest the team. But he has got a once in a generation cricketer in Ben Stokes in the team. He's Broad and Anderson, who obviously, you know, legendary bowlers and very useful and effective still at home. He's had a team in transition. Tactically, he sometimes, you know, he's a bit cautious sometimes or a little bit indecisive, but I think that, like I say, that really there is a dearth of alternatives to him at the moment in the England team. We did think maybe Stokes would be a test captain, but he's just had this break to basically mental exhaustion. You just wonder whether you want to burden him further with the test captaincy on top of batting and bowling. So that's the situation Joe finds himself in, and yes, it will definitely define his captaincy this series.
Speaking of Nick Holt on Sports Day, the chief cricket correspondent for The Telegraph in England. Nick, Jimmy Anderson out of the first test. Mixed reports today. Is he injured with a calf, or is he being managed with the possibility of a second day-night test?
I think he's being managed with the look at the second test and the fact he's 39. He arrived in Australia with a niggle in his calf and he didn't bowl for the first 2 weeks. And of course, what's happened is then subsequently rained. So he's not really got enough bowling in his body to play a test match. He did bowl a full session today in the nets at the Gabba and yesterday. And if he was injured, he wouldn't be doing that. I think also England are conscious of the fact that this rearranged fifth test is going to be a pink ball test, a day-nighter as well. And they would want Anderson playing in that game. And also maybe the Gabba's not a bad one to miss for him because he averages 75 there.
Mm-hmm. Averages 75. Wow, I didn't know that. So what have you made and what has the Telegraph made, do you think, Nick, of this Tim Payne situation and the impact that it could potentially have on this test?
Well, it was a sort of stunning revelation for us in the UK. It was one of those jaw-dropping moments when you see the email drop into the box, you know, saying that the test captain has stood down 3 weeks before the first Ashes test. Look, it can only, I suppose, in many ways, it helps England because it throws a bit of confusion into the camp at the start of a test series that Australia would have been planning for all year. But you could argue it strengthens Australia as a team because Kerr is a good keeper and a good batsman, and Pat Cummins looks like in many ways a natural leader of the team. So I suppose we'll have to wait and see. But England will have initially have enjoyed that news, particularly because they were getting hammered from all sides back home at the time over the Rafiq racism case that had actually stretched all the way up to the England side as well. So that they would have been quite pleased to see the heat taken off them and see the Aussies suffering a bit as well.
So how has that situation played out? Do you see a satisfactory resolution, and do you see Michael Vaughan, who's been temporarily cancelled by the BBC, ever working for them again?
Oh, I hope so. And I'm sure he will come back. I think that they've already said that they'll use him again after the Ashes. Where the story ends, I don't really know. I mean, I think that we're going to have another report commissioned by the ECB into all the allegations. Obviously, there's great change at Yorkshire. They've sacked half all of the coaching team and appointed Darren Gough overnight as a new director of cricket. And there's going to be a top-to-bottom look at county cricket, in particular this kind of dressing room culture, which is something that was thrown up by the Rafiq case. The way that players perhaps interact in the changing room. Changing rooms are very different to other normal working environments, as you know, and maybe that sort of side of things will change as well. But really, we just don't know where it's going to end.
Can I ask you, Nick, to name some names here? We often in interviews, we talk around the fringes, but right now, as much as it has been a bit of a surprise to me and my co-host Scoop McClure, Australia are $1.60 favourite to win the series.
How?
And yet we haven't played long forms of the game. We've had some indifferent form ourselves. England's played a lot of long form cricket. Tell me who has to play well, who has to assert themselves, and who has to actually come of age as a player for England to win this series and create history in Australia.
Ben Stokes needs to have a good series. Root probably has to score 500 runs, I would think, minimum, yep, to give England a chance. You would need one of the others, Pope, Milan, or Burns, to stand up and contribute at some point in the series, probably in the first two tests, because if the first two tests go against England, then yep, I'm afraid it's probably going to be follow the same course as the last two series. On the bowling front, look at Ollie Robinson. England have great hopes with him. He had a great summer last year in his first test series, first test summer in the England team. He really has to have a good series. We need Chris Wokes to prove that he can bowl overseas with a Kookaburra and not just be a one-trick pony in England. Anderson and Broad, like I said, they're going to be managed throughout the series, so who knows how many games we're going to get out of those two. But I would say those are the key players to look at. A big blow for England that Jofra Archer is not here because he provides the pace. Mark Wood is quick. We know he bowls well over 90 miles an hour and will rattle Australia. But again, he's got a very patchy fitness record. So England need him to play more than just one test.
Well, we look forward to some of those wild cards producing and making it a very competitive test. I still think $1.60 seems a little bit unders to me.
A little bit.
But we'll wait and see, Nick, and let's hope this first test we get a result and it's not rained out and you get yourself to see the games live for the rest of the series.
And, Nick, we'll chat to you. Your next cross can be outside the North Bondi RSL, just having a couple of conciliatory pots after you lose the first two tests.
Well, it could be at the end of the series when we're repeating the lunch from 2010-11.
Well, we'll hold you to that. We might actually fly up and join you for a loud. Nick, thanks for coming on.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
Nick Holt there, the boss of cricket for The Telegraph in England. There you go. So, I mean, that's, you know, coming from the man that follows him closer than anyone else. So Root needs to play well.
Well, you're going to win here. Everybody has to play well. But
he needs one of the other middle-order batsmen
to
stand up. And it sounds like they've got high hopes for that young Ollie Robinson.
Mm.
Nick Holt joining us on Sports Day. More after this, we're going to chat basketball with Chris Anstey.